This is CliffCentral.com.
Former executive mayor of the city of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba, has had anything but a quiet or slow past couple of months. After a much speculated exit from the DA, he has his eyes set on continuing with some political service through the People's Dialogue, and he joins me now to set the record straight on where he is, to share his thoughts on hot-button issues, and to talk about where his focus will lie in the next few months. First of all, I am biased in your favor, Herman. It's always nice to see you, and I'm always impressed by the fact that people like you, who really could go off and have a very happy life, you don't need this trouble in your life. You could be very happy. I know you and your wife are terrific people who've done enough for the country as far as many of us are concerned. You've been tremendously successful in your own right. Politics is for horrible people, and you're not a horrible person. And I have to ask myself again, especially after the way you were treated in the DA recently, why would you go back into this?
Thank you very much, Gareth, and thank you for this great opportunity. As you're aware, I've had numerous engagements with you, and I think also really give you the credit for starting this platform to give South Africans an opportunity to hear the other side. Gareth, you know, for me, getting into public office or into politics was one of the most difficult decisions I had to make. Post 1994, 27th of April 1994, I voted for Mandela, great leader. Him and F.W. de Klerk coming out with a peaceful transition, something that as I was growing up, I never thought would really be possible. Come 1999, I voted for Thabo Mbeki also to give him another opportunity. During Thabo Mbeki's second term, that's when I realized the ANC is not really the party that I thought it was. And I'm giving you this as a background so that you understand what informed my decision. It, you know, coming from the business sector, now close to 40 years, you know, I'm a capitalist by nature. It's in my DNA. If you can get, if there's a, there's technology to do a DNA of your economic system, I can tell you I'll be the first person in the world to pass the test of, because capitalism, it's in my blood. I love the system. So when, and the, what made me distance myself from the ANC was their support for Mugabe, destroying that beautiful country that I nearly once thought of actually immigrating to. Before 1994 elections, because I never thought we'll achieve a peaceful transition, I was already doing business in Zimbabwe, and I wanted to actually take my family there. And for some reason, things didn't work out, which I'm really pleased about. And now, come 2007, ANC in Polokwane, you remember, they then decided to elect someone facing 783 cases of every crime in the world you can think of. Okay, this was ANC. By then, I'd already accepted that ANC is a criminal organization. So obviously, for them to elect a criminal to really lead them, shocked me, but it didn't shock me, because I was already convinced here we're dealing with a criminal organization. But then what shocked me was 2009, when 59% of the voters voted for this. And my goodness. Okay, then let's fast forward to 2014. Jacob Zuma gained as much as his support base, 69%, not 59. Remember in 2009.
Yeah, it went down after that.
Yeah. And then 2014... he dropped from 69 to 62. Oh, my goodness. I mean, getting over the 62% in an election for someone that we knew. I mean, at that time, the Jacob Zuma and the ANC had already taken corruption and criminality to another level. The world at the time knew that this country is run by criminal syndicates. I mean,
I think the Guptas made their entry around 2014,
2015. No. The Guptas made their entry during the
But we became aware of
it. Yeah. But they captured the ANC during Thabo Mbeki's era. So it's just that Zuma was vulnerable. He was broke. They took advantage of him. They knew he liked money and he liked all the beautiful things and so forth. So they took the corruption to the next level. So when they received 62%, that's when I then decided for the first time in my life to join a political party in Malawi, take a membership of a political party. Because
and you had a very specific goal. I mean, you wanted to be mayor of Johannesburg.
No, at the time.
Or was that something they wanted?
No, at the time when after the 2014 election, was just to really ensure that black people understand, particularly the youth, that guys, we don't vote for political parties because they've got the same skin tone as us. You can have the same skin tone as I am, but in terms of our value, let's vote for political party on the basis of their policies, their value system, and if they don't obviously admit that, we vote them out the next time around. I wanted to send that message because I took the membership of the DA and announced my political the voting. And remember, all hell broke loose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were called a lot of names.
Oh, yeah, no, I was called names and so forth. But I was happy with it. I had achieved what I wanted to do for people to really know that, you know what? We are going to build an unracial South Africa. No one is going to really stop this process because anyone who's going to try and fight this can only really do this at the expense of the country. But more and more South Africans will stand up to this. And fast forward to 2016 when the DA requested me to stand for them as a mayoral candidate. As much as it was not something that I've felt capable or competent to do, there was no one else. I actually remember in 2015 actually flying to Harvard to go and speak to, using my own money, I went to go and speak to Lindiwe Mazibuko, who was at Harvard at the time, to say, Lindiwe, we've got a problem. I didn't know her before. I just got someone to get me her contact details. I dropped her an email. I said, introduce myself. I said, Lindiwe, I'm Herman Mashabo from South Africa. There's something I'd really like to come and talk to you. Are you happy to meet with me? Can I come over to Boston? And she allowed, and I flew over to Boston to go and talk to her. Spent 2 days with her, trying to convince her to stand for the DA to be the mayoral candidate. Because
You tried to talk her into taking the mayoral candidacy
of Johannesburg.
And she was studying public services and administration.
Something, whatever she
something
was studying.
Like that.
Yeah. So, you know. Unfortunately, she expressed her reservations, but she didn't come out quite clear what the issues were with the DS2Y. She was not prepared, and I respected their decision. And I said, "What do I do?" I then decided, "Let me do it myself," because the current candidates for the DA, I realized there's no way that they can take the ANC. You know, for me, Gareth, I volunteered my services into politics to unseat the ANC. My agenda is very clear. The job I'm doing then and now is to unseat the ANC. For as long as I can assure you the ANC is in power, be guaranteed, for as long as I'm alive, I'll be a political activist. And once the ANC is out of power, I don't think I believe I'll be an appropriate person.
But that's an incredible motivation because, as I said at the beginning of this discussion, you didn't have to do any of this. I mean, surely there are other people. The DA, as it is at the moment, you had good relationships then in the party. Mm-hmm. There are probably other people who could have done it. We know Solly tried to run Tswane and did so quite well for a period of time. There were people who were coming up in the ranks, young people, and you don't need the stress. What do you want to deal with the EFF and the ANC and have to argue in council meetings and budgets and have to find all the money that's been stolen and try to get the fiscus back up and running?
You know, Gareth, if South Africans can adopt that kind of an approach that politics has got nothing to do with us. If you now remember, actually, just last week, I appealed to the Zimbabweans in South Africa. I tweeted, I don't know if you saw the tweet, I requested Zimbabweans to run workshops, free workshops for South Africans, even if they must charge us. We'll get South Africans to pay so that we can learn what actually went wrong with that beautiful country. Beautiful country that 25 years ago, you know, Zimbabwe 25 years ago used to produce food to feed the entire Southern Africa. Today, go to Zimbabwe. 4 to 5 million South Africans, they battle to get 1 meal a day.
Zimbabweans, yeah.
They can't even produce maize meal. Just 25 years ago,
shelves,
I'm not talking about...
Shelves in the shops are empty. Yeah.
They can't produce maize meal. One of the easiest product to farm. Maize meal. They don't have maize meal in Zimbabwe today with all these rains. So, and now you look at our country where it's going. So, if obviously you and I are going to sit back and say politics is not for us, then you know what? I don't know what we're going to say to future generations. And I said to myself, as a privileged South African, I'm not going to run away from this country because I nearly immigrated to Zimbabwe in the 90s before our elections, because at the time Zimbabwe, as I say, was producing enough food. You go to Harare. Harare had cranes. I mean, what that country was unbelievable. You know, the growth. Education system that Mugabe inherited, and we must never be fooled by that. Mugabe is the one who created the educational system that the Zimbabweans are today, because if that's the case, look at the last 10 years, how the Zimbabweans kids don't go to school because they can't even eat. They can't actually feed them.
The thing you're saying here is that you saw there was no other option. You had to do it. So you got stuck in. I mean, this sounds like the argument that Donald Trump often puts up, that he got into politics because he could see the country was going backwards and he wanted to stop that.
In fact, I think people are very much aware about, for me, obviously I don't know, Donald Trump, never really met him, but knowing a little bit about American political system, I remember actually when they were still running primaries in 2015, I used to go to the States a lot, and like one time I came back and I said to my wife, before you was actually confirmed as the Republican, and I said to my wife, this man is going to, if the Republicans put him forward, I can assure you he's going to win the elections. And I can tell you right now, for me as a South African watching from outside, Trump is actually one of the best things that ever happened to America. There's no doubt about it. He's got his own issues, but who's perfect in life? But one thing for sure, I think...
But people who don't like him don't like you for similar reasons. They don't like someone who has done well, who doesn't consider himself a victim, who acknowledges his privilege, but considers that he also has a role to play in contributing to society. For some reason, those to me seem like very good things. They seem like quite admirable qualities. But for a lot of people in this country, they are anathema. They don't like to hear any of that stuff. Because to them, it is important that every black person regards themselves as a victim. They believe that capitalism is bad for whatever reason, even though socialism has killed 100 million people
murdered,
and counting.
Not killed, murdered. The only thing that communism and socialism did was to murder their own citizens. That's the only thing.
So why is it that your position is frowned? I know people, there are friends of mine, black people, who just loathe you, and I cannot understand. I've tried to have conversations with them. They think that you are a xenophobe. They think that you are a mercenary capitalist who believes in just taking people out if they're in the way for business. That you ran Joburg badly, that you made alliances with terrible people, that you're a sellout. I mean, the things they've called you, I cannot believe.
In fact, on Saturday, as part of the People's Dialogue, I was one of the ladies in the audience said to me, that I'm a representation of white monopoly capital. I said, you know what, I'm proud. If that is the case, I'm actually proud to do that, because, and I said to her, you know what, I'm happy that I don't share the same values with you. Is that, you know. I think people have to really learn to accept that we come from a very difficult past. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
But at the same time, we need to really move forward. Gareth, I don't know if you're aware, I started my business, conceived the idea of business in 1984 when the apartheid government said I could not start a business. Started business with an Afrikaner, Johan Krill from Boksburg, who brought technical skills in my business, and two black other partners. So I started my business. When I started my business, my own idea, I only had 25% share in the business. Johan, I each had 25% share in the business. We did it for the right reasons. We were not doing it. I didn't bring Johan because he was a white Afrikaner or whatever. I brought Johan into my business because I needed Johan's technical know-how. Johan didn't go into business with me because I was a black man. Johan accepted to go into business with me because he knew I was a good salesman.
But we just put to rest the late Richard Maponya, who, just like you, made his money and started his business in the most adverse of circumstances. Now, again, I have to contrast this with what people think, certain people think of you, and what you actually are. You are a man who, despite apartheid and everything that was going on in this country, managed to forge a business with white people and black people, for black people, a product that was essentially for black people, at a time when everybody else found it impossible, right?
Well, the thing
and
is,
same with Richard Maponya. Here's this guy who managed to start a commercial enterprise when nobody in the black community was supposed to get it right. All the laws were against you. All the people were against you, the white people. It was impossible to organize anything in townships in those days that wasn't, you know, that wasn't community oriented, that wasn't by word of mouth, because anything that looked like it was organized was shut down. And yet, the two of you, again, I'm gonna draw a parallel between you and Richard Maponya. You managed to do this. Now, instead of people going, wow, these guys did it, they seem to resent you for it.
Well, I think these are people that, in fact, on Saturday, one gentleman actually accused me with a people's dialogue because I was with Andre Kuzie, one of my key members in the people's dialogue. And accused me of working with a white person. And I said, you know what? If you're a racist, you are most welcome to leave here. you are most welcome not to really listen to me, because I did not really bring Andre here because he's white. I brought Andre here because he's one of the strategic people. I can tell you, between you and Andre, I can tell you I don't really need you, but I need Andre. And I don't need Andre because he's white. If you feel uncomfortable with what I'm saying, you are most welcome to leave. And I said to him, I said, people like you, I said to him, it's any young person, obviously he must be in his late 30s or 84. I said, it's people like you. When I started Black Like Me in 1984-85, when we were successful, you were accusing me of partnering with a white person. And I said, it's because of what? It is because of jealousy. It's got nothing to do. You wanted to really pull me down. You did not really appreciate. And it's exactly the kind of nonsense that you are coming with. If you feel uncomfortable to listen to me because I'm working with white, you are most welcome to leave.
There's a lot of this politics of resentment on the left. There seems to be a lot of whatever you have, you must have hurt other people to get. There seems to be an understanding on the left of the political spectrum that the cake is only so big and that we've got to make it so tiny. Each slice has got to be so tiny that it hardly feeds everybody, but we must cut that cake because it's only this big. Instead of what many of us will say is that the cake can be grown. When we have growth, when we have economic opportunity, when people have freedom of association, and the free market allows you to buy things at competitive prices, everything grows.
Absolutely. You don't have to even be a rocket scientist to really figure out. It's for that reason where, you know, I think for me, racist, I cannot tolerate. I don't want to associate with them. That is why when I realized that the DA is a small cabal that was taking over the DA because they wanted the DA to probably remain small and white. And I said to myself, look, unfortunately, I don't want to be part of this. And I warned them beforehand. So, you remember, so two, 3 weeks
how
beforehand.
How did it all go down? Because I must be honest with you, I've always been someone who was interested in politics. And over the last year or two, I've totally lost my passion for politics in this
country.
I can tell you I respect you and I know that we've had many conversations about this. But I don't know what happened because I've never voted for the DA. Mm. And when I saw what was happening now in the last year or so, I had even less reason than ever to vote for them. I don't know who their constituency is. I don't know what they stand for. I know that the ANC are, as you say, a criminal organization.
Not a criminal enterprise. Yeah.
And the EFF will ruin things in a matter of minutes if you give control to them. Mm. But where can I take my vote? Because this is, to me, the hard rock and the hard place I find myself between.
You know, Gareth, I don't know if you're aware that South Africa today, 36.5 million eligible voters, only 17 million voted. 19 million did not. Now you can imagine, Gareth, and actually this is coming out of this engagement through the People's Dialogue. Majority of the people who are engaging are those that did not vote. Some of them did not even bother to register. 10 million registered but never came out. So just imagine if just 25% of the people had come out to vote, today we'll be having the ANC out of power because they're sitting at 57% at national government. At the province, they won by a small margin at just over 50%. Mm. So I think, you know, for me, the trick right now going forward, and I think to people like yourselves and myself, all of us, we need to do something, Gareth, to encourage the 19 million people to really go out. ANC voted by just under 10 million South Africans. They had just under 12 million. They lost 2 million votes from 2014 to now. So, and I can assure you, they're going to lose another minimum of 10% going forward. But if people are going to stay out and really be despondent, will end up ANC governing us for a long time and destroying this country, because every minute that you've got ANC in power, you must know you and I are getting poorer. that's a fact. They are just about to take pensioners' money to actually ban it, because what they're doing will be with SAA ways and Eskom and so forth. For me, it's tantamount to banning money.
Yeah, bottomless pit.
Will this country's economy absorb this for another 5 years or so?
No.
I can tell you it's not. So 2021 local government are really very crucial. We've got to get South Africans to first vote and come out register. We've got to get them to register, go out and vote. I don't ask South Africans to get into public offices like I am. I'm in a fortunate position that I can be employed and put money towards this program. I've got a family that said, here's the resources. It's our contribution. As part of, we've been philanthropists as a family for more than 30 years. But here, it's important for national to saving South Africa. Start this movement. Make sure that we can get this 19 million people to register and make sure that come the elections, they must go out and vote. Because if that happens, we will unseat ANC.
So what happened with the DA? I mean, I need to know, because these were people who you did get along with for a long time. They were your political bedfellows for a long time. Tell me about what happened, so that we can all get an idea of what prompted you to resign, because a lot of people in Johannesburg were surprised by that. What prompted you to get out of the DA and to decide it was time to start something else?
Look, what I find really very said is that, you know, I bought into the DA with this narrative and mantra of building one South Africa for all. And building one South Africa for all is not something that people just preach. I think you need to practice it. We had an opportunity in the city of Johannesburg to demonstrate to South Africans, the poor ones, that we care for them. Because DA, and I said this so many times in our public meetings, and all of us are aware that DA has always been regarded as a white party. And so for some of us as black people, we used to be insulted by your black friends who used to think...
and then you were made to feel unwelcome by the whites.
We are sellouts and so forth. So I bought into this and I believed, and majority of DA, the members, more than 95%, that I can assure you, more than 95% of DA are there for the right reasons. Unfortunately, there's a small clique that that became very powerful and hijacked and captured the DA, like the Guptas captured the ANC. I could not understand
what is their agenda. Those people.
I think for them they had problems with my pro-poor agenda. And the reason why I was driving the poor agenda with the mandate of DA electorate, because every time during the campaign, even when I was the mayor addressing public meetings, I will tell them about the plight of South Africans, that ANC has subjected them to the most deplorable conditions. People with no toilets, with no water, with no roads, with no identity. And I used to say to our residents, DA supporters, I said, people, we've got a huge problems. We can build walls up to high, as long as we are not going to give dignity to our fellow South Africans, who we want us ultimately to vote for us. And we are not doing it because we want their votes. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do, but they will believe in us. And what created a problem between the DA and I was to push this narrative of going to give people toilets. People living for 20 years, ANC left informal settlements, refusing me to go and provide them with toilets. They says, no, why must I take the residents' money and give it to people who don't actually pay for services? I mean, I could not really understand this. This created a problem to a level where I've ultimately decided even the DA to refuse to go and present to them. And I said, you know what, people, understand, I was not elected by the DA alone. Yes, DA with the majority of this coalition arrangement. But at the end of the day, you know what, if you want me to come and talk to you, then go call all the political parties, including the
EFF. Why did it have to be an either-or for them? I mean, surely part of governing a city like Johannesburg is making sure that the poorest people have basic services, basic necessities, but also being able to take the majority of that tax-paying money to make sure that everything functions for everyone.
And the thing is, Gareth, while we're spending money in providing toilets, I mean, this is small change. I was spending money, fortunate enough, anyone can really look at the last 2 years, the last 3 years of our DA-led administration in the city of Johannesburg, how many substations we've upgraded, building new ones, because ANC for 22 years of their government totally ignored infrastructure. What I did when I took over, discovered 170 billion rands of infrastructure backlog. 27% of our the electricity infrastructure substations, they'd already reached more than 100% of their lifespan. So I had to spend money in those programs. But those programs, you don't really see them overnight. I had to ensure that we put in new infrastructure, road infrastructure, water and sewer systems, because these suburbs were built 50, 40 years ago for small communities. That's why we kept on having water-based pipes. We're losing this precious community and so forth. So we are spending money in infrastructure. I moved, when I took over the city of Johannesburg, under ANC, they were only spending just over 50% on infrastructure. Moved it to, say, what, 72%?
What were the books like when you took over?
Well, the previous mayor was more interested in getting rating agencies to give him the ratings that he's got a great balance sheet. Not balance sheet, cash. Not balance sheet, cash, because that balance sheet that I inherited, to just give an example, I don't know how it passed the test. I can give you so many cases of things which were sitting in our balance sheet that will make you angry. We will want you to shoot someone. The first one that I exposed was the substation in El Dorado Park. Here is it. We had already paid 66 million rands towards the building of a substation in El Dorado Park. When I sent the team to go and see how far this project was, there was no substation. Here is it. The city of Johannesburg. We had 280 million rands of the prime land in the country, not or in the continent. You know that piece of land where the Sentence Station is?
Mm-hmm.
That where the station is and the land at the back,
mm-hmm.
that land used to belong to the city of Johannesburg. It is, was gifted to the Guptas.
You're joking.
No, it's not a joke. It's gifted, but it was in our balance sheet for 280 million rands. When I went in to see what to really do with this piece of land, discovered that the Guptas never paid a cent for that land, and when I went to try and get it back, I discovered that the city of Johannesburg has given them the title deed. So, and as soon as they got the title deed, they went into the market, they went and raised 420 million rands. They promised the investors they were going to build a massive the structures there. Up to today, they've never built anything. The city lost that piece of land. No one is
arrested. Does it still belong to them?
No. It's gone. That city is gifted to the Guptas.
So it belongs to them?
Yeah, it belongs to them. Never paid the city a cent. But listen to this. The story doesn't even end there. The city gave them even the right not to pay for services. You and I must pay for our services, electricity, water, and whatever, and services and rates. The Guptas never had to really pay the services. I don't know if you're aware, sometime last year, when the first thing I did was to stop water, supply water at Sentence Station. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, I know. It was controversial.
People didn't understand why I had
but
to stop.
But the landlord had stopped paying.
No, not stopped. They never paid. And they were given this right by the previous administration, including the province, wanting to take me to court. And I said, go and take me to court. They took me to court. They lost that case.
You uncovered during your time as mayor of Johannesburg over 6,000 cases of corruption, totaling more than 35 billion rand. Do we know how those cases are proceeding? Have we had massive successes there?
As far as I can tell you, not the single case of the major ones, the people not arrested. To give you an example, the substation in El Dorado Park, the company that pocketed this, it took me more than a year to get them arrested, and they did not even spend a day. After really the fighting to threaten, I had to call Gerinel and threaten private prosecution. Never spent a day in court. Eventually, I was told they were arrested. A year later, the case was withdrawn.
So
the NPA saying there's not enough evidence.
How come?
I cannot understand. How can you tell me there's not enough evidence? Here is 28 progress payments. The city paid 28 invoices paid over from the first payment made on July 2015, the last payment December 2016. They are there. People are paid, but there was no substation. The NPA says there's no case.
That's outrageous.
We're sitting now with the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, was the MMC of finance. He's now the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. These the wife and the mayor, their wives are are partners to the are B partners of this company that that was donated this piece of land. He's our mayor today.
You know,
I mean, just to give you an example that you know, I mean, it's you'd really wish this were just dreams.
But when we have absolutely no accountability for everybody except good, honest, tax-paying citizens, eventually those good, honest, tax-paying citizens are going to stop paying tax and being honest.
Yeah, but then what's going to happen to the... Because, yes, we can do that, but the country will collapse.
Well, you can only do what you can do, and in your sphere of influence, you can find ways of withholding money.
You know, for me, that's not the solution. The solution is to ensure that we unseat the ANC and run this country in a manner that, that more especially a multi-party government where we can hold each other, one another, accountable so that we don't have access to do things the way they've been running all along. But for as long as we have ANC into power, I can tell you, I don't know if we will survive another 5 years.
So, Herman, a couple of things that have got people very riled up. One thing that was very controversial during your administration as mayor was illegal immigration. You felt very strongly that illegal immigrants are taking advantage of the city of Johannesburg, that ordinary citizens of South Africa are discounted in their ability to participate in the economy by this huge influx of illegal immigration. And that we are essentially carrying the can for administrations like Robert Mugabe's, which chased so many people out of Zimbabwe. Why is this controversial? Why do you think so many people were unable to see your point of view on illegal immigration, calling you xenophobic and all the rest of it?
Well, the thing is, because a lot of people, politicians and other people, benefit out of criminality. So that's why when I started raising this matter, I was attacked and attacked by senior politicians, Minister of Home Affairs, Gigaba, the Premier of Gauteng.
Disgraced former Minister of Home Affairs.
Yeah, well, the Premier Makura went all out on attack, calling me names, insults. But they did not realize that I'm not that kind of person that is going to be intimidated by threats and so forth. I stand by principles. I stand by the truth. Today, we've accepted that South Africa is one of the most, is a country with the most poorest country in the world. Billions of goods are brought into this country illegally, including medication. Today in South Africa, honestly, when you go and buy Panado or buy whatever, Gareth, you might really be buying products that we don't know whether they were manufactured in Pakistan or Afghanistan or whatever. So they're not just really bringing in apparel. When they start bringing in food, they bring in medication. And our national government is very much aware about this, that we're facing a serious problem.
I'm going to quote you here on Twitter. You said, people who come into South Africa must come in legally, and when here, obey our laws. This is not too much to ask, and it's a requirement in all countries all over the world. The reality is that South Africa does not have borders. Every day people come into our country, and some of these people are good people who are legitimately seeking asylum, but some come to commit crime.
Absolutely.
None of that's untrue.
I mean, who can really argue with that? Who can really argue with that? I don't know if you're aware.
People said, when you say things like that, you make it okay for people to take a violent action against illegal immigrants. That's too much. Surely.
Also, okay, do you want to silence us? Last week, the whole of last week, and in fact, even now, going forward, I am going to bring this to South Africans to discuss the issue of the death penalty. For me, I'm unapologetic, Gareth. I'm a big supporter of the death penalty for rape and first-degree murder. And I'm not going to apologize to anyone about it. If I look at the number of people being raped in South Africa, as I'm talking to you right now, there's a woman being raped somewhere in South Africa. Before close of the day, in South Africa, 58 South Africans have been murdered, not people dying of natural causes. And some of these murders, first degree murder, I can tell you, Gareth, I'll never apologize to anyone. I'll never lose a minute's sleep. That we catch you, and we've got more than enough evidence that you are involved in destroying this woman's life, that you've taken someone's breadwinner, you murdered them. Will put you away. And the reason why I would not really hesitate, because those who are telling us the nonsense that it for me is nonsense that the death penalty is not a deterrent. One thing I can tell you, Gareth, you rape my sister, my wife, or my daughter, or my neighbor, and I put you away, you have no chance of ever coming back to rape again. So don't tell me the nonsense that the death penalty is not a deterrent. You murder someone, third degree murder, family sleeping at night, you come in, you rob them, and afterwards you still go out and kill them, and we catch you. I won't lose a sleep. Because you know what? You won't do it again.
But what about our police are useless. So we've got incompetent police leadership. We have Bekele running around trying to disarm people now, ordinary citizens who follow the law, who have guns, which they have licensed, which they have licenses for. He wants to take those people's guns away. The only people who will have guns left are the criminals.
And I hope and I'd really invite South Africans, please don't accept that. Because for as long as I think we don't have the police that's going to protect us, please don't accept that nonsense. Until such time that we can have a police force that is not controlled by politics. And I can tell you, Gareth, a big number of our policemen and women are good policemen and women.
Of course.
I've demonstrated this the 3 years when I took over JMPD. JMPD was literally dysfunctional, was running by ANC cadres who did not know anything about police. I put in David Tembe as a professional policeman. Today, JMPD regarded not just in South Africa, in Johannesburg, all over South Africa.
I know. Really big, you know. Just as a
why? Because I focus on ensuring that we take politics out of our police force. We just started making sure that we improve the salaries of our policemen and women. We made sure that they work 4 days a week, 4 days at a time, 4 days in, 4 days out. Because in the past, these guys used to be overworked and so forth, and we started treating them. I could not believe it. When a few months into our administration, our policemen get killed, and I hear about it, I'll stop everything, go and visit the family, attend their funerals, and so forth. JMPD said to me, they've never seen this in the new South Africa. This is the first time that they see the mayor concerned about their plight. I could not believe. I refused in the beginning. I said, no, guys, you are talking nonsense. It's not possible. I'll visit them in hospital. You shoot our policemen. I'll be the first one. I'll be in a meeting. I'll stop a meeting, go and visit them in hospital. I'll go and see their wives or their husbands to go and convey my condolences.
But this is about, I mean, you mentioned David Tembe. You're talking about merit. And the ANC seems to have a major problem with letting the best people run things. It's almost as if, I mean, if they wanted to steal, they'd still, if you had a brain and you wanted to steal, you'd put good people in so that there would be more to steal. Mm-hmm. But they're so useless in the ANC that they don't only want to steal, but they also want to ruin the thing that they're stealing from so that the goose that lays the golden egg stops laying eggs.
Well, I think, please, when you get an opportunity, I invite your listeners to go onto Google, Google the article I wrote in 2007, how it hurts me to see how ANC has destroyed black talent and compromised it. Why?
Absolutely.
I'm talking about looking at how many people do the 6,000 cases. You know how many black professionals, engineers, lawyers, accountants that I had to go and lay criminal charges against because they were compromised by ANC, forced to do things that unfortunately, you know what?
Well, if you're dealing with the ANC, you have to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, no.
Because and, that's the only way they know.
I want and I challenge anyone, read that that article, how it pains me to really look at, we are short of accountants in this country, lawyers and engineers and black ones and white ones. Obviously, the white ones, remember when ANC took over, they were chased out of the system. And now bring in the black ones and in the process even compromise the few that they've got. And now look at what they're doing right now with our education system. You know how many schools today are no longer doing maths? So if it continues like this under ANC, 5-10 years down the line, you're not going to have black engineers, black accountants and so forth, because ANC is about just really pushing the numbers. So that's why
do you think the ANC wants to stultify the electorate? Do you think they want
no,
to
deliberate.
Make...
It's,
you think it's
no,
deliberate?
No, no, it's deliberate. It's not, it's not an accident. I raised this matter even during Thabo Mbeki's era, when I started realizing that the ANC is actually deliberately, through SATU, their trade union organization, that they are deliberately actually making sure that black kids don't get the right type of education so that they can really be their...
So they rely on the state.
They can rely on the state.
We have, 17 million people on social grants at the moment. And we have 3 million income taxpayers.
Yeah, roughly 6 million.
It's never going to work. It's never going to work.
Dropping. Yeah. So, but the thing is, ANC didn't really know this. I don't know when they were being trained by the communists and Russia. They didn't realize Russia couldn't sustain that system. They didn't train them. Unfortunately, by the time the ANC was unbanned, Russia was just about to collapse. So I think we need to really take them to the Russians and ask them to really re-educate them. That, guys, what we taught you was wrong. Honestly, I've got...
All right, so let's go back to the People's Dialogue, because you've been hosting these meetings. You've been talking to people. You've been putting your ideas to them, hearing what other people's ideas are. You've already mentioned to me that one of your goals is to get those registered or unregistered people who are not voting yet to vote for you.
Not to actually vote for me. Honestly, even if they don't vote for me, as long as they don't vote for the ANC.
So you must remove the ANC out. So you don't mind if they vote... EFF,
Freedom Front,
Lekota, whoever.
As long as it's not the ANC, we need to unseat the ANC through.
But are you going to be standing for election?
Absolutely. I've already made the commitment based on this the interim report that released 2 weeks ago. The final report will be released middle to end of March. But on the basis of the overwhelming inputs that I've received from South Africans, without any doubt, we will be forming a political party by June at the latest. We are going to compete in the local government elections next year contest. We are going to focus on Gauteng, Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni. These three metros, ANC is already below 50%, and I can assure South Africans they're going to lose at least another 10% minimum. So these three metros are there for the taking, and I've made myself
available. You've proven that you would work with the EFF, again, controversially.
And I'll work with the Freedom Front Plus, I'll work with the DA.
Right. You know? So even though people will say, oh, no, you know, he's probably not in such good terms of the DA. He's probably not in such good terms of the EFF. They called you things as well.
Yeah, no, they called me names.
We know the ANC hates you. You won't collaborate with them.
Definitely.
But there's room then for you to be a kingmaker of a kind. If there are, you know, a lot of seats going either DA or ANC way, you could be the person who makes the decision of which way it goes.
Well, I really hope, which is obviously a disappointment for the DA not to want to be in government, because I joined the DA because I thought and believed that they wanted to unseat the ANC. And the DA has made it really, the current leadership of the DA, they don't want to govern. They're happy with the ANC to govern.
They like being opposition. Is that what you think?
Yes, absolutely. And there's enough evidence to that fact. Remember, they voted for Jeff Makubu to be the mayor. They allowed the IFP to vote with the ANC. In the case where DA with the IFP, You know, there's 5 municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal where IFP to be in government, they rely on the DA. The DA is still supporting them, but they've allowed them to unseat DA in Johannesburg. So
they can't make deal.
So basically the DA, the current DA, I think these are people who are looking after their stomach and their political careers. They've got absolutely not, they don't want...
That line, that they're looking after their stomach and their political careers, that's how people feel about all politicians in this country at the moment. Who in the DA do you still regard as good people? Are there people there that you could work with?
Well, I think we're going to form a political party. We are going to contest. In the event we don't get outright majority, we are happy to work with all the other parties except the ANC. So whoever is going to be the DA leader at the time, we will approach them. Okay. And work with us if they want. But we will work with the Freedom Front.
For example,
the Freedom Front Plus has been outstanding. EFF, they've been outstanding in ensuring that we keep ANC out of power.
Yeah.
It's only certain people in the DA that did not really want.
Do you get along with Sully? Msimanga?
Well, I know him professionally. We've never...
But you don't talk?
No, I've not. Ever since I left the DA, I've never spoken to him. Even before that, we're never being personal friends. We were professional colleagues.
Who is in charge of the DA at the moment? Is it Helen again?
I think it's Helen, unfortunately.
Okay, unfortunately, because you don't...
And obviously...
You and Helen didn't... You used to get along.
Yes, because I thought, and I really trusted him. I thought she meant well. But when I discovered that she had other agendas, I remember with those tweets with her missing the past and actually being... for me, totally irresponsible, I think. And no one can dispute the fact that everything was bad and we needed to destroy our country. But I think you need to really be sensitive about some of the issues that transpired in the past. And she was really handling it in a manner that she showed no sensitivity. And I think... doing it actually to undermine the Musi Maimane, because Musi tried to engage her to say, Helen, please let us be sensitive. This matter is creating problems for us. And
so what's happened with Musi? Because he was meant to be joining you, as I understood it,
it was the media.
Speculation.
Speculation. But what is actually interesting coming out of the millions of people who've engaged us, the majority of South Africans would love Musi and I to work together. Personally, I would love to get Musi to work with us. But unfortunately, because of me being in Johannesburg, him in Cape Town, when us announced the concept of the People's Dialogue, I couldn't get hold of him. I tried until the 28th of November, a few days before the launch.
It seems there's a coalescing of a certain number of people. I mean, I think maybe Mosiwa Lekota is not so far out of the range of what you believe. He's come out in support of a number of things that you also support. There may be some overlap there in terms of what he's doing. Are there other people in politics that you might approach to work with you? People who you know could be positive influence in the current political climate?
Well, if I look at the current experienced politicians, I've got to really be very careful, to be honest with you.
Many of them are already sullied.
I've made it really very clear that our vetting system is going to be as thorough as possible. Are we going to make mistakes in the process? As soon as we make a mistake, I can tell you out. I don't really play. I'm not in this business to make friends. We will, and we are talking to some prominent South Africans who've been in the political field to join us. We'll make announcement as and when. But one thing for sure, that in the event of you compromising what we stand for, it's not going to take us 18 months like it did with the Patricia de Lille. I can tell you with me, once I discover that you've got shenanigans, I can tell you within 24 hours you're out. I'm not going to play games with anyone. And I expect the very same thing must apply to me, that the party must be in a position in the event that I play games, I must be out.
So you want to focus on Gauteng? You want to focus on Tswana?
And I really hope that I hope that I can really get the buy-in of South Africans, because we have to really be tactful. We've got to be strategic to prepare for national footprint overnight in a year. It's just not really possible. I think these three metros are there for the taking. ANC is already under 50%. They are going to lose even more. People of Johannesburg are not voting cattle. You can't buy them easily. That is why ANC is already under 50%. You can't buy them with T-shirts and take them to FNB Stadium to go and listen to music concerts. You can't do that with people of Johannesburg. So I'm asking South Africans, if you want us to really make an impact and see the ANC, let us focus 2021. Let's focus on Gauteng and only these three metros, and we use this as a precursor for 2024. Then we can then use these three metros to demonstrate that we can actually govern and govern properly.
What do you think of Cyril Ramaphosa as a president?
Fortunate enough for me, a week before 2017. ANC conference where Cyril was elected, I wrote an opinion piece warning the ANC against Cyril Ramaphosa, that Cyril Ramaphosa is the wrong man to govern this country. That opinion piece is just there for you to check. A week before then, the elections, unfortunately, ANC went ahead to elect him as the president. A week before the elections, at the Constitutional Hill, we had a press conference there. The entire media was there. I said unapologetically, I warned people of South Africa. I said, look, I warned the ANC against Cyril Ramaphosa. They went ahead to elect him. I'm asking you, fellow South Africans, if you elect Cyril Ramaphosa, I'm telling you, 18 to 24 months time, you're going to be asking for Jacob Zuma to come back.
He's that bad, you think?
And I said to you, it was all just check on it. Just going to Google, Mashaba says Jacob Zuma is an honest man. And I said because the media asked me, why do you have said? I said, no, why they will ask for Jacob Zuma? Because Jacob Zuma is an honest man. Jacob Zuma stole our money before we elected him into office. So he doesn't understand what you expect him to, you know. So I said 18 to 24 months you're going to be asking for Jacob Zuma.
It's
now 7 months. No. 7 months later, people are now asking for Jacob Zuma to come back.
What is it about?
Is
Cyril thoroughly corrupt like everyone in the ANC?
It's not the corruption. This country needs a decisive leader. It doesn't really need someone who navigates and manipulates politics. South Africa is looking for honest, brutal leadership that is there to serve South Africa, not to serve political parties.
Would we have been better served if Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma had won at Nazareth?
Oh, it would have been a disaster. Look, anything to do with the ANC, it's like asking me, is there someone in the ANC that you think can revive that organization? That organization can be revived. I mean, please do your study, look at that organization in exile. So these shenanigans we see here didn't just really start here. These shenanigans started when they started living in the country. Talk to anyone genuinely, go and do the research to go and see the shenanigans of the ANC during their days in exile. So they were just really waiting for their turn to steal. So one group of ANC that wants to remove another group, it's got nothing to do with public service. ANC didn't go into exile, obviously with the exception of the Mandelas and the Susulus. And unfortunately, the apartheid government took that leadership away from the system. But for me, the biggest risk that they're sitting with is their relationship with COSATU and the so-called communists. South African Communist Party, because those two parasites are the ones that have destroyed the ANC. For as long as you've got a tripartite alliance, you've got a totally dysfunctional system.
What do you think the unions asking for people's pensions to be used to bail out Eskom and SAA? Do you think that they're making, because they're using this tripartite alliance as the basis for a relationship where they can leverage the ANC into making terrible decisions like that? But why don't the ANC stand up to them?
Is there people in this tripartite alliance called the ANC? I mean, there's nothing like that. It's just they call themselves a tripartite alliance, but all of them are the same. So there's 3.5 billion rands or whatever amount that they want to really put into this SOEs. It's just for it to really be looted. It's got nothing to do in fixing these institutions. It is just for them to empower themselves and their families.
And no one has gone to jail for all the corruption over the last 25 years. No one has gone to jail for it.
Well, what's his name?
Shabir.
Senior ANC person, the one who came out and ran ANC the School of Governance.
Tony Yengen.
You remember?
He went
to jail for the short period.
For the Mercedes Benz.
And taken into, accompanied by ANC people and came back and given senior positions in the ANC. That shows, what a joke this is. I mean, you can imagine someone gets involved in corruption and you are prepared to still bring them and put them into senior positions. So for them, and the thing is, ANC, it's unfair for us to expect them to do the right things because it's not in their nature.
How does your wife, Connie, feel about you in your political career? Because I'm sure, and your family in general, I'm sure that they would like to have you with them. They would like to have you less concerned with everyone else's problems. All the stresses of being in political life. It's dangerous too in South Africa. We've got gangsters like Didi Mabuza, who we know have taken people out before.
Well,
aren't they worried about you?
Well, I'm sure they're worried about to me, and I sympathize with them and other fellow South Africans. But fortunate enough, political assassinations will never assist anyone. Let them do what they believe it's right, because I think by the assassinations, they can only actually expedite their downfall.
Because
one thing for sure is that I think I'm a strong believer in the power of God. He's the one that will ensure that ultimately
good prevails.
Good prevails.
But Herman,
so,
are your family
evil will never prevail?
Are you and are your family supportive of your? I think political ambitions.
Look at the People's Dialogue. My family has been so far the sole financial supporter of this, taking money that's supposed to be for my children and my grandchildren.
Don't you think that business in this country could be a little more brave and a little more courageous? Because business has been in cahoots with government. Government is the biggest spender in the country. And a lot of businesses rely on that government spending, and they have been willing to bend over backwards. Some of them are completely spineless. We have CEOs in name only who will kowtow to the ANC at every opportunity. And it's time maybe for business to realize that the country that the ANC has run into the ground is now a country that they can't make as much money as they would like to out of as well. Don't you think they should grow a spine?
Well, Gareth, CEOs and captains of this industry, history is going to judge them for the role that they've played in letting the ANC destroy this country. And I can give them, I can sympathize with them in the beginning. Probably they thought the ANC meant well. But honestly, for any captain of industry today, 2020, to still tell me that they believe ANC means well, history will judge them. Their children and their grandchildren will ask them one day, with all the millions or billions that they've made, to say, you know what? You've played the role in the destruction of this country, being associated with criminality that you knew very well about it. No CEO or captain of industry today, 2020, can tell me that they don't know ANC to be a criminal organization. And the association with criminality, then they must accept the responsibility. full responsibility.
So what's your best case scenario for the next 5 to 10 years? What's the best case scenario, and then we'll look at the worst one?
My best case scenario is not even 5 years. It's 16 to 18 months time with local government elections that we remove ANC from the three metros. Because once we achieve that, when we achieve that, ANC is going to become a rural party, would have taken a big percentage of their budget that they are using to loot this country. And this can then serve as a precursor for 2024, then ANC can be out of power. If the worst case scenario is us, for South Africans, stay away, with that ANC gets 6 million South Africans and they still come out with majority. And then I can assure you, I don't think this country economically will get to 2024.
Well, I wish you luck. The People's Dialogue sounds like something that we should all get behind. It sounds like something which I am pleased is coming to the fore more and more. May your project here continue to grow. May you achieve much more support as you go as well. And thank you for bringing a ray of hope into an otherwise quite dark set of circumstances that we're dealing with.
Thank you very much, Gareth. It's always really an absolute pleasure to really have this honest, brutal discussions about the future of our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman, and good luck.
This is CliffCentral.com.